We're going to be in Revelation 22, last chapter of the Bible. So last week we looked at the river of water of life. So this week we'll see a little bit of the river, but we're going to go on and see more about what this scene is in heaven. So from chapter 21, verse 1, all the way pretty much through chapter 22, verse 5, it's a scene of our eternal home. We get a picture of it, of what it's going to be like there. Because John, he's not just trying to describe something that he didn't see. It says in 21, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." In verse 2 of chapter 21, "And I, John, saw the holy city." And so when he says he sees a river of water of life, I don't see how that can be, just kind of something. Maybe it's not a river. John saw it. And I mean, we all know if I could see something, I could recognize that's water flowing there. That's a river. If we're going to see today, he sees a tree of life. I mean, I think John's smart enough to know what a tree is. And so a tree of life is probably a tree, right? Because he saw these things. And so, towards the end, I want to talk about why we know so much about heaven. But we do know quite a bit about what it's going to look like. And it's not in really crazy metaphorical terms. We're talking about streets and rivers and trees and gold, things that we know and things that John could see. So we're going to read chapter 22. I'll just start in verse 1, and we'll go through verse 6. Chapter 22, verse 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this book and the book of Revelation and your book of the Bible, and so we can know so much about you, and you reveal yourself, and especially in Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, so we can see your Son, and we can see what he has planned for us and what you have planned for us. So Lord, help us to see this and to read it and to do it in your spirit today, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're in verse 2, chapter 22, verse 2. It says, "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life." So this tree of life is in the midst of the street of it. What is it? In the midst of the street of it, even more specific, it's in heaven. Even more specific, okay, I think go back to chapter 21, verse 21. Chapter 21, verse 21. "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass." So when the first time we're introduced to the street, it's the street of the city of New Jerusalem. So now when, he's carrying on, and in his writing he didn't have chapters, so he's just keeping on going. He says, "In the midst of the street of it," so in the midst of the street of the city, so we're talking about the New Jerusalem, and there's this street, this gold street. "In the midst of it," so in the middle of this street, "and on either side of the river was there the tree of life." All right, so we're learning some stuff about this street. In the middle of it is the tree of life. Have you ever seen a street with trees in the middle of it? Yeah, we see it all the time. Okay, there's trees in the median or whatever. Okay, but also in the middle of it, there's the river of the water of life. So in the midst of this street is the river of the water of life running down in between it. And so I would say that this river of water of life probably isn't like the mighty Mississippi. It's probably not, half mile wide. More like I picture it as just a stream of clear, pure, flowing water, because it proceeds out of the throne of God. And so this stream coming down, this river water life down between the street, and then you got the tree of life. And it's in on either side of the river. So that again says that to me, this isn't a huge river. It's a big tree, so it can be in the midst, and it's on either side of the river. So this tree somehow kind of goes across the river. And whether it's, I don't have a picture then as one trunk, but maybe, somehow, I don't know what it is, but it's on either side of the river as well. So you got the river going through this gold street, in the middle of New Jerusalem with this tree of life. And the tree of life is in the middle of the street. So let's think about this tree of life. Okay, it says, let's go back to Genesis 2, verse 9. Genesis 2, verse 9. Because that's the first time we hear about this tree of life. Because now in heaven there's a tree of life. In the very last chapter, but we go to the very first chapters and we find out about the tree of life as well. Genesis 2, verse 9. Let's start in verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So you got this whole garden and you got two trees that are specific. The tree of life, it's in the midst of the garden, and then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So in the very beginning, this would be on day three. Because on day three, if we go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, Genesis 1, verse 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And so it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and evening and morning were the third day. So in chapter 1 of Genesis, we have the overview of the 6 days of creation. And then in chapter 2, we go back and look specifically at man. And that sixth day here. But on the third day, the trees were made. I presume the tree of life in the midst of the garden. And so it was the tree of life. Now let's go to chapter 3, verse 22 of Genesis. We see the tree of life formed. Now in Genesis 3, verse 22. This is after the sin of Adam. It says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us." Now who is God talking to? Why would he say, man's become as one of us? Was there other gods? Yeah, the Trinity, right? We see right away in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, here's chapter 3. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So man has become as one of us. Not that he's a god, but that he knows good and evil. That he knows good and evil. So we haven't become like God in that we're gods. We became like God in that we know good and evil because Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. Okay, but he said, "And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." So man ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but did man ever eat of the fruit of the tree of life? No. Because what happens if you eat of the fruit of the tree of life? You live forever. Verse 22 says, So God guarded that tree of life, sent Adam and Eve out away from it so they would not live forever. Is that good of God or bad of God to do? I think so. Because they were what? They were stained by sin. I mean, we would have to live all the time. We would live forever in this body, a sin-tainted body, instead of being able to die and be resurrected and put off this corruption and take on incorruption. Right? So this was a merciful thing that God did to Adam and Eve. It was a loving thing that God did that at that time they would not take and eat of the tree of life and live forever. And so they kept it guarded. And I mean, up till it could have been this way all the way to the flood, that there was the Garden of Eden, there was this tree of life that was guarded by a flaming sword until it would have been destroyed in the flood. I'm just guessing because we never hear any other thing about the tree of life when God did away with it. But for sure in the flood and then fountains of the deep, all that happened. Okay, but God's going to bring back a tree of life. Let's go to Revelation 2, verse 7. And then if we eat of the tree of life, we live forever. And I don't think we have to. God can do whatever he wants without us. It's not some tree that's, but God chose that this tree, if you eat of it, would make you live forever. In God's wisdom. That's why I take it. Yes. I think Adam and Eve would have lived in a sinful state in this corrupted, this world that's groaning and travailing in pain until now. We would have lived forever in this. Yeah.
The stain of sin caused death.
Mm-hmm.
Man wouldn't live in a physical state forever. I'm not sure if
I know. I take it that if he ate of the tree of life, he would. Because guess what God said, lest he live forever. Yeah. So Revelation 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So this paradise of God, this new heaven, this new earth, in the midst of it, in the middle of the street that comes out of the throne of God, that's where the tree of life is. It's in the new Jerusalem. And so if we start here, we just know it's in the midst of the paradise of God. Once we get to the end of Revelation, we see it's in the midst of the street, even in the middle of the river of life that proceeds from the throne of God. So this tree is pretty important in heaven, in the new earth, I would say, New Jerusalem. So we can turn back to Revelation 22. So we see this tree of life. And I would assume that we're going to be able to eat of this tree of life, just like we're going to be able to drink of the river of water of life. Okay, verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. Is that like any tree we know of? No, apple tree bears apples, right? A banana tree bears bananas. This tree is going to bear 12 manner of fruit, 12 different things. So we don't have any trees that could qualify for a tree of life on earth today. So it bears 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And John, an apple tree bears, what do you say? Once a year.
Once a year.
This one does all the time, right? Every month. Yields their fruit. So there's not just the time when it's got fruit. It's always got fruit. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Okay, up till this time, and this is all one vision that John saw from the beginning of chapter 21 through here. He's seeing this new heaven, this new earth, and this new state. Because in the millennial kingdom, we said before, there will be tears, there will be pain. There will be a final war there still. Okay, but then after that, when this new heaven and new earth are made, and at that time when the tree of life comes, there's going to be total healing. Revelation 21 verse 4 describes it. Revelation 21 verse 4, where it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And that's this tree of life with the leaves. It's the healing from all that, the pain, all those tears, all that death, all those things. This tree of life and the leaves of it, it said, they're going to coincide with God coming in and say, there's no more pain, no more crying, no more tears. Things are perfect. And the tree of life has something to do with that. All right, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. And the curse came because of sin. Let's go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, there's going to be no more curse. The whole world, I mean, all the nations are going to be saved. I mean, Jew, Greek, all these, I just say all different people groups, everybody there, even up till the time of, in the millennial kingdom, there's still Gog and Magog. There's still different areas of the earth. And at that time, when God comes in, and there's healing, and there's no more pain, it's for all, everybody, I would say. I think nations is just everybody that's there. Yeah, Revelation 7, verse 9, after this I beheld on low a great multitude which no man could number of all nations, all kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms. So, I mean, I think this is just a term for all people of the world. That's what I take it as. Because I don't really think there's going to be nations in the sense that we see nations right now in the new heaven and new earth. But that's why I think there will be have to be healing of these nations after the 1,000 years. Because there's still Gog and Magog, there's still rebellion, there's still all this stuff. And I think what it's healing is the effects of the curse, because we go right on to the next verse and it says, and there shall be no more curse. So to me, this healing is all the pain, all the death, all these things that happen because of the curse. And this tree and leaves would be for the healing of the nations, and I take nations to be. And so Genesis 3, verse 16, says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's part of the curse. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So those are all the effects of the curse. Childbirth, I mean, the men and women thing, and the ground's cursed. All except for Dale Epps' ground. He just brings forth abundantly. No weeds on yours. Your ground cursed? Was your ground cursed? Okay. So even Dale Epps' ground is cursed. So that is, all these things, though, there will be no more curse. It said, we can go back to Revelation 22, because there's going to be no more curse then. So I assume we got all this land. There's going to be no more sea on the new earth. We got this land. We can use it to, just like Adam was put in there to tend and keep the garden, we'll be able to tend and keep gardens and bring forth. And there's going to be no more curse, though, on this ground. We don't have to have crop dusters come by or anything like that. It's just going to grow what we want it to grow, and it'll grow beautifully. So there should be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And so, like, part of the curse for sure is all the, you know, weather, tornadoes, and, I mean, things happen. Lightning strikes and can kill people, gas leaks, all kinds of things can happen. Part of the curse is because of sin. It all has its root back in sin. That's where the curse came from. That's why the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It's because of sin. But now God's going to be in it. When I look at this, I think of, you remember when Jesus is on the boat crossing the Sea of Galilee, and I mean, there's storms and waves, and they think they're going to die, and he just comes up and speaks, and it's done. Because God was there, he can make things perfect, and God will live with us. He'll be there, so things are going to be perfect. There's going to be no more curse, because the throne of God and of the Lamb are in it. And his servants shall serve him. So we're going to be there. We're going to be able to serve God forever. God's still God. We're not a bunch of gods all equal. And it's us just say, hey, God, how you doing? He's like, hey, you God. No. We're still who we are, and he is God, right? Beside him, there is none else. All right, so we're still going to serve him, we see. And they shall see his face. So we're going to see God's face. John's the same one that wrote, you know, back in John chapter 1, no man has seen God at any time. I mean, Moses, I mean, everybody, they were on holy ground. They had to take off, and they could not see it. They saw a burning bush. But to see God's face, we're going to see God's face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. That's whose name we want in our foreheads. Let's go back to Revelation 20. Just Revelation 20, verse 4. So we want to be at some time where we have God's name in our foreheads. Revelation 20, verse 4, describing after Satan was cast down and the people and us on earth even, I saw thrones and they sat upon them and judgment was given unto them. That's us. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. These are the tribulation martyrs, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So during the tribulation, that 7-year period, there's going to be a choice. You get the mark of the beast in your forehead or in your hands, which means you're going to hell, or you don't. You refuse it. You get killed probably. But then you're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years here. So we do not want, you know, nobody wants the Antichrist's name written on their foreheads. But when we get to Revelation 22, verse 4, God's name shall be in their foreheads. So we want to be marked with God, not with the Antichrist. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So it's going to be light all the time. And it's just amazing. You could not write a book. Only God could write a book like this. We're in the last chapter. Now we're with light. And the reason it's light is because the Lord God gives them light. And Genesis 1, verse 3, the very third verse says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. So from the very beginning, there was light, and it was God that said it. There was no sun. There was no stars. From the very beginning, God lit up the world. And towards the end, there's no need for a sun. It's just going to be God with the light. I mean, this thing is bookended on Genesis and Revelation. It wraps up all the questions we had, Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Here in the last three chapters of Revelation, we see them all. I mean, everything is answered, and everything goes back to the way it should have been to begin with before sin. And in between that, we see sin and its effects and its reconciliation, the atonement for sin. But it's amazing that we see this. And so we know when Revelation says, if any man shall add it to the words of this book, I mean, God's seeing this as a whole entire book. This is definitely the end of His revelation. It's the end. There's no more Word of God coming out today. This is what it is, 66 books. It begins here in the beginning, and it ends here. He says, I come quickly. Amen. You know? And in between, He gives us what we need to know for salvation. So, we're going to reign with God forever and ever. And He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. Here's the question. What different? We see it a lot now. Now we're basically to the end of seeing what heaven is like. Chapter 21 and these first six verses of 22. We've seen a picture of this new earth, the new Jerusalem, where we're going to live forever. Why? Why do we need to know this? Hope. Exactly. I mean, should we dwell on these things and think about these things? Sure we should. We're told to. Strengthens our faith. The Bible said, blessed is the man that readeth and heareth the words of this prophecy. That's Revelation 1, verse 3. I mean, this we're blessed and we're blessed in order to read these things. We're supposed to read this and we're supposed to look at these things, and God gives us this picture not to say, okay, now you know what it is, don't think about it. We're supposed to think on these things and to hope on these things and have that eternal hope in us and to look forward to these things. So how can that make a difference in our life, you know, tonight and tomorrow, since we know what we're looking forward to? It should help us. The trials, the tribulations are things that we have. If we see it the way it really is, and we see where we're really going to be, we see what God really has planned for us, whatever our troubles are right now, really, they don't compare. And that's what Paul says. The tribulations are not to be worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. Nothing that we go through here is worthy to be compared to what we're going to have. And God's clear. Jesus Christ was clear what hell is. Couldn't describe it any better. You know, I mean, a lake of fire burning with brimstone to be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's pretty clear. And He's pretty clear here what heaven is. Living with God with this tree of life, living forever, seeing His face, serving Him. No tears, no crying, no death, no pain. Perfection. That's what He has planned for us. So it ought to make a difference in our life. It helps us get through hard parts. It should motivate us to share this Word, to share the Word of God, and have other people have this hope as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the picture that we get and the facts that we get about our eternal home. Lord, help us to live our lives each day keeping that in mind and to be able to make decisions in our life knowing that this life is not everything. This 80 years, Lord willing, that we're on the earth is not everything. But that we have an eternal home. There's eternal rewards. And that's where our true home is. And that we can live on this earth and just do Your will and not our own will. And Lord, we fail You. And I know I fail You. Lord, may You strengthen us. And just impress on us tonight with just this study of Revelation and of heaven what the truth is. And allow us to live in accordance with that truth and not with the world's lies and the world's stuff. So Lord, be with us. Help us as we go out of here. Help have us tomorrow to serve You. And to do Your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.